So there are a quorum of subcommittee members present, so I think we might want to just get rolling, and hopefully a few will join us in progress. And I'm going to ask Stephanie to kind of kick us off with a couple of just housekeeping items.
Great. It is nice to actually see most of you, and thank you for those of you who are on the telephone and for your patience while we really gather for our March 11 meeting. I hope that all of you have been in good health. It appears that you're here, so I'm going to take that as a yes, and that that continues for as many of us as possible. So back in March, we were going to handle several elements at once. And as you know from Barry's thorough emails, we're going to take those different elements one at a time now with subcommittee meetings so that we can operate. Small groups allows us to operate without a quorum, which then allows us not to have to have a vehicle through which we can invite the public. Even though I think people have figured out how to Zoom bomb, we don't have a mechanism that we can, you know, open this up to everybody. So today we are here to discuss not historic preservation, arts and culture. And we all had those packets back in March, and so we're gonna discuss that element today, which is not the first time we've discussed it. Susan, I can see in my Brady Bunch screen, she's down in the bottom left. And she has visited with us before to discuss this element. So we will review and discuss anything that Barry has to bring back to us. For those of you just joining us, welcome. I was just saying we're going to get started and pick up what we didn't get to do at the March 11 meeting, beginning with the first of several subcommittee meetings, this one being arts and culture. So thank you for Zooming with us.
Thank you, Stephanie. And I think we're going to do roll call. I can actually see who is on the line, but this is in part just to verify that your audio is working. So I'm going to call the names that I see, and I'm actually also going to call those who are not present in case they join us. Bonnie Marmer?
Here.
Okay. Jackie Schmidt?
Here.
Stephanie, we know that you're there.
Yes.
And I believe 302-9272 was Renee. Is that right?
No, that's Don Blaney.
Oh, sorry. That's Don. Don Blaney is here. Great.
I'm trying to Zoom right now.
Okay. And Cecilia, we heard from you earlier. So is your audio is working?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Paul, we can see you and hear you.
And your sandwich.
Huh. The chickens are jumping around.
That's over chicken from last night.
Oh, yeah, there's another one.
Jeff Jones.
Hello.
Okay. And it's a little odd because the names are actually jumping around as I'm looking at them. So it's like a little puzzle. Susan Andrade Wax, you're on the line, right?
I sure am.
Okay.
So boys versus girls.
And Margaret Johnston?
I'm here.
Okay. So Mary Beth Bushy is not on the line, I think. And I think
I thought he was Linda, for American History Act.
Linda Jackson is unable to join us. So, and Jeff Rhodes, are you here?
Yep.
I think I saw him add on. Yeah, there we are.
Wow, look at all those bottles. Cool. Okay. So I think Stephanie reviewed the objectives for the meeting. And just to let everyone know, this is being recorded. Hopefully I'll be able to figure out how to trim out the first 5 minutes where we're all just getting acclimated, and we'll be putting the audio file online.
Thank you.
what I would like to do is just provide a quick overview of the policies. Also let you know about a focus group that took place on March 6th, where we walked through the policies with a group of stakeholders from the arts community and some of what they told us. And I'm going to maybe ask Jeff and Susan to join in on that as well, because they were both present. And then we really want to spend most of the time talking about the policies themselves, getting some feedback from you. We are going to have a hard stop at 1 p.m. because a few folks need to get on other calls. So our next steps is really just going to be a request for you, if you haven't provided comments in writing, to do so by the end of this month. We do have some time on this agenda for comments from folks who are not on the committee, but I don't believe we have any other than staff. So I think unless someone joins us, we may be able to skip that aspect. So arts and culture is an element of the general plan. It's not a required element. There are actually only about 15% of the cities in California have this in their general plans. I think the fact that San Rafael chose to add this in 2004 is really a statement about how important the arts are to the community. And this is a good opportunity to kind of talk about the value of the arts and the way that arts can complement some of the other policies in the plan. So it's a pretty straightforward element. There are 10 policies. The first one kind of talks about San Rafael as being the hub of the arts in the county. The second policy encourages arts and cultural programming and activities that meet the whole community. So there's an emphasis on programming that doesn't just serve one target audience, but that's very broad, that serves the, you know, all groups in the community and really focuses on diversity. Policy 1.3 focuses on partnerships between the arts community and the city. 1.4 emphasizes that our arts programming should reflect the diversity of the city and build bridges between cultures. 1.5 supports public art, which is kind of a unique topic in and of itself. 1.6 supports space for the arts. So, you know, arts galleries, performance space, venues, and so on. 1.7 supports special events that may or may not be arts related, but they are part of the culture of the city. 1.8 looks at the contribution of arts and culture to the economy of the city and arts as an economic development activity. 1.9 looks at creating an environment where the arts can thrive. So creating a city where artists can find places to live and places to work and places to display or perform. And then finally, the last policy relates to funding for the arts and looking at innovative and new ways to provide funding. There are a number of programs. I won't go through all of them at this point. Just to give you some background on the focus group. So on March 6th, which seems like decades ago now, but was only literally less than 6 weeks ago, we convened a group of about a dozen representatives from arts organizations in the city, and we kind of walked through this draft of the policies with them, and we got their feedback. I forwarded a letter that was prepared by a group of them. In general, I would say there was strong support. This element seems maybe less controversial than some of the others. I think there's a lot to get behind here. The folks at that meeting represented Artworks Downtown, the Cities and School Y Plan Program, Youth in Arts in San Rafael, Multicultural Marin, Arts Latinx, the California Film Festival, the Marin Society for Artists, and Dominican University. So they were all present and had some specific comments on the document, things like clarify the city's role versus the role of arts organizations, strong support for an arts master plan. They feel like it's important for the city to have an arts commission. They want to make sure that public arts policies address things like maintenance of art and evaluation criteria. And they would like the city to make it easier to use vacant commercial space for temporary art exhibits and direct a portion of the transient occupancy tax, in other words, the hotel tax, to the arts, to arts organizations. Those were some of the ideas that came out of that 90-minute conversation with the arts organizations. Let me ask Jeff or Susan if there's anything that you guys wanted to add before we jump into the policies, since you were both at that meeting.
Susan, why don't you go ahead first?
I think Barry captured all of it. I think the most important aspects that seemed to resonate with the community was making affordable spaces available, not only to exhibit, but for artists to live and to connect. The other element that came up was inclusion and cultural diversity. That seemed to be a really hot button and important aspect of the community as well. And then lastly, we discussed the possibility of doing a cultural and arts master plan, which would include a public art component.
I really have nothing to add. I thought that the arts community was really well represented there, and I think that the notion of diversity was definitely a strong theme, as well as the notion of finding a way to move forward with an arts master plan. And as Susan had observed, finding ways to provide space for artists that they can actually afford.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Barry, when did you forward that letter? Did it come to all of us? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I sent it actually only about 90 minutes ago. So,
with a reminder for the meeting.
Right, it went out with a reminder.
Okay, I was in another Zoom, so I missed it. Okay, I thought maybe there was something earlier. Okay, now I understand. Okay.
Yeah, there were a couple of folks that were planning on coming to that March 11th meeting, and they wanted to read that statement at the end of the meeting. They were disappointed that the meeting was canceled, but. Anyway, that was their statement. So I just wanted to make sure that the group had it.
Okay, great. Now I can see that it's here. Thank you for summarizing it for us.
Barry, sure. This is Cecilia. I had a question about the referrals or the different examples they gave in the in their funding area. Of the different communities that are using different types of funding sources. Did you have time to actually look at any of that stuff, or is that one of the things you want us to do?
I don't think we're gonna ask you to do that necessarily, but I haven't yet gone through and researched those individual cities. Some of that is, I think, follow-up work to do. But you know, we'll have a look at some of those programs. So were there any that you or anybody else here is aware of that are particularly effective, or you know, that San Rafael might be able to emulate?
Well, one of the things that was mentioned was this notion of a 1% for the arts program as part of project approvals, but that needs to be taken in a context of financial realities for projects. And I think the emphasis was fundamentally on downtown, if I recollect correctly.
Mm-hmm. So that was something I was going to ask if you were going to add to the agenda for today, is our new reality and how we look at all of this in the overlay of what our post COVID-19 world is going to look like looking forward.
Right. Yeah, no, it's an excellent question. And I think it's a global question that affects the entire general plan. So we're still trying to get our heads around it. At some point before the plan is released, it would be great to have a group conversation, just even to hear people's thoughts about that question. You know, certainly what I'm hearing from individuals relates to the immediate economic impacts. And, you know, the effect on businesses and the economy of the city, the ability to spend, the need for employment and recovery from the job, you know, the job impacts. Longer term, I think there are issues related to, you know, how do we use transit, for example? How do we redesign our public transportation systems to be safer? How do we make sure that multifamily housing is safe? How can we create public open space that serves populations that need it in times like this safely? So yeah, there are a whole lot of big picture questions that we need to get our heads around. Specifically to arts and culture, I don't know. I'm curious if there are specific thoughts about that.
Well, can I mean, there have been so many innovative things that have been coming out of the arts community during this time. So it gives mm-hmm. some ideas, I think, for all of us to think about.
I have two questions. One
yes,
is,
Jackie.
I'm reading this document, and you could interpret the use of the word art in many paragraphs is sort of, you would interpret it as some object that you're supposed to look at is art versus I say Murren Shakespeare is not on the list. I'm looking at AC 1.1A, and it's talking about, obviously this list is not supposed to be complete. Support efforts to improve and sustain local arts facilities, but they're listing only, as I understand it, places where they have artists come and put paintings or whatever it is for people to look at, as opposed to some entity like Murren Shakespeare, which is putting on drama. Mm-hmm. So what are we including drama in the arts? Because normally it is in plain English, but it's not clear to me in this these paragraphs sort of look to me to be talking about objects to stare at, to not, I'm not trying to be rude, but you know.
No, it's a good point, and we are taking that broader view, and one of the feedback we got from the arts group is actually to avoid referencing specific organizations or facilities, because often those may be renamed, or there may be new things in the future, and we don't want to have to have an obsolete general plan with references to things that don't exist anymore, and so on. So in general, a lot of the references, like specific festival names, and so may come out of the next draft.
Because they're all in there, and in 1.1A and 1.1B, there's all kinds of references.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Okay. And my other comment is just about this is supposed to be the 2040 plan, and it's not clear to me that we should assume that the quote unquote new normal is where we are now, or even where we're going to be in 18 months. I have more hope than that. I don't think that by 2040, we're all going to be wearing masks and gloves everywhere. I mean, modern science has figured out how to kill off almost every pandemic and horrible epidemic over history. And I don't think this one's uniquely going to be with us until 2040. And in such that you would have to redesign all housing and all transit and all everything long term. So that's my only comment about that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I appreciate that optimistic view. I share that as well.
And I think that with respect to what Jackie is saying, what we have here is an interim situation. If we look at the way the general plan is structured, it seems that we make a number of policy and program statements, but there are no specific commitments to fund these things or any specific commitments on timing. So that would suggest to me that we're probably pretty much okay as we move forward. The only thing I think we should expect is that there will be fairly significant fiscal impacts on the city that may in fact last a while and may in fact delay the ability to implement policy.
Mm-hmm.
If I may comment on that, Jeff, I think that's a really good point. All of these points are really are well taken. I think what we may want to do is maybe not element by element, but a more general discussion somewhere in perhaps the introduction section of the general plan or another section that is sort of overreaching for the entire plan that basically says, you know, things are moving. We may have to revisit some of these things in a year. I mean, we are obligated to take a look at our general plan every year and report out on our program. Things will change year to year. And by the way, it is normal practice for us, it's our current general plan right now, to program or to identify timing and responsibility of program implementation. And a lot of times those programs are kicked down the road because of lack of money to get them implemented. So I think that makes that much more of an important part of this general plan now, not knowing where we're going to be in 18 months or 5 years. Would you agree, Barry?
Yes, definitely. And we're hearing this from cities across across California right now. Definitely. And we will, I mean, it is pretty fundamental. We have to address this in the beginning of the general plan. It's, you know, kind of pervasive. So
I think that's the best idea. And my only thought about that is, in addition to this specific thing we're talking about today, I can remember the Great Recession, which was nowhere near as bad as the numbers that we're seeing now regarding economic activity slowing down. And there was basically hardly any construction in the city for how many years, Paul? 10?
At least 5 or 6, yeah.
Yeah, just everything stopped getting financed and funding, and the contractors weren't building all these. We have, up till now, been hearing from the planning department, whatever, there's all these projects in the pipeline and everybody's got money and we're gonna have huge new tall buildings all up and down 2nd, 3rd Street. And I just don't think that's gonna happen as quickly as we anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think what we'll find, though, it depends upon even financing soft costs for process. Is what we found during the recession was, even though there was no construction, people still came in through the planning process and went through the planning process for their projects because they were banking their entitlement
right, or
their approvals, and then they'd be sitting on them for a while. But I think, going back to Jeff's comment about the connection, and he brought up a good point about, for example, a public art fee, is I'm starting to look at those things and looking at the big picture. We have to be very careful we don't commit to a lot of fees to fund programs that we're not going to find the money to implement. And so it's just one of those things, like I said, we're going to have to do our best to assume that in 6 months there might be some changes and we have to revisit this, or in 5 years it may be a little different than where it is right now.
I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with a couple of projects that are already pretty advanced. For example, a hotel project on Fifth Avenue, it may shut down. They may lose their financing. So,
is that still being constructed, Paul? Are they still building?
No. They cannot build because they're not considered an essential use.
I'm afraid of that.
However, the housing project at the corner of 2nd and B Street is allowed to continue because it provides housing. There's some changes to the shelter in place order related to construction. And at this point, it's gotten as narrow as it can be, and it's pretty much narrowed down to housing development projects that have affordable housing. Someone can't even work on their own single family home if they're building their house right now.
And the city safety building, I assume.
Yes, public safety, the Kaiser is allowed to continue, anything dealing with that. So,
back to arts and culture for a second. Barry, in AC 1.7A, this kind of goes back to Jackie's point about specificity.
Right.
Are these the kind of events that you will remove the language where it says sponsorship of things like street painting, which is not happening? The farmer's market, lights.
No, that's not going to work. I was going to hold up my draft to show you that that's all been strict overstriked.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's all what my notes are. My notes all had sort of question marks by those things, just because I don't know how we can forecast. This was back, in the beginning of March when I read this before there was a pandemic flying around. It seems too narrow.
Yes, and in fact, several steering committee members, including Jackie, have submitted written comments. And just looking at the written comments, I'm seeing from somebody, this list is too narrow in geography and scope. And another is Dia de los Muertos needs to be here if you're going to start listing everything. Then others who just said don't list all the individual events because you're going to leave somebody out and the list is going to change.
Well, Well, and I mean, let's think about the opposite. Like Jackie said, I mean, we, just like we have great scientists, we have great creative minds too, right? There could be some cool new idea we don't know about.
Right.
Some third grader is going to be a 20 something and they're going to think of it.
That's true.
And, you know, same with the, even back on the last page, the reducing costs, the more affordable space for artist production. I guess this does get specific, but Artworks has done that already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that model really worked, right?
Right.
And that was 20 years ago.
Right.
But they were able to secure, Paul, correct me if I'm wrong, but what with a grant from MCF, I mean, affordable rent, fixed rent for the artists in live workspace. So
we got the building sprinklered. It's safe.
Yes. Yeah, that was the first board I ever sat on.
It isn't live work, is it? It's just studio?
No, there's apartments upstairs.
There are. It's, I don't know if they're exactly live work, but there are definitely residential units within that building.
I think in the beginning, the idea was to give preference to the artists who had studio space there. I mean, you can't live in your studio, Jeff, to answer your question.
Yeah.
Right. But there are apartments, 19 apartments or something available in the building.
Hmm.
So they do have a model.
One thing I wanted to mention about general versus specific and, you know, pulling out like Marin Shakespeare is a lot of that stuff is the moving parts of that is going to be really embedded in the arts and culture master plan. That is where stuff is very specific and that changes. And so the general policies are general, but the master plan is where, you know, where you would find like Marin Shakespeare if you're looking at a budget for 2 years or something like that. Correct me if I'm wrong, Barry, but that's where I see this.
No, I think that's right. I mean, in a way, it's similar to the conversation we've had about a parks master plan, and that's where the rubber meets the road and where you do your needs assessment and your, you know, where you really look much more fine-grained at what the needs opportunities are, what your funding sources would be. I think really all we're doing here is creating a framework for those kinds of activities to happen in the future, and we're really thinking long-term, 20 years. A big theme of this element is really using arts to unify the city and to bridge cultural divides. I mean, San Rafael is a diverse city. The arts have the potential to connect people. And there's a real opportunity there that we want to capture in the general plan. I don't think this is the place to get into a lot of the details.
Can I ask a question? I really appreciate that you explained that because I had a bunch of questions that were probably not relevant to this discussion. They would more be for the master plan. So
right.
Thank you for explaining that. That's very helpful. But I'm wondering whether we want, well, I mean, if we call this arts, whether it makes more sense to call it arts and culture because it's the broader, you know, it seems broader to me. That was one question. And, you know, to the extent that we're trying to give guidance without getting into particulars. I lost sound here.
Is everybody still there?
Yes.
I'm here.
Okay, great. Yeah, there was a little blip there, I think. Some of us disappeared for a minute.
Okay.
Bonnie, can you hear us still?
Yeah, I can hear you. Did you get my question?
I think I got part of your question.
I think, I heard the whole thing. So let me respond, and then Barry or Susan, you might want to enhance my response, is that this list of policies and programs that are in this element. Each one has a part in the master plan. So there's obviously different topic areas. And so each of those will end up in some form in the master plan in a much more granular way. So I don't know if that answers your question, but basically the policies and programs are like kind of a foundation of the master plan, if I might say. So, you know, again, Barry and Susan, you guys are more familiar with how these art and culture master plans work. I'm assuming that that's no different than how we handle other things like what we talked about earlier about the parks.
I think that's accurate, Paul. I would agree with you there. And one of the first questions we asked this group of stakeholders is, the County of Marin just completed its arts master plan. Is that sufficient for San Rafael's issues? And everyone said, no, it's not. It's a good plan, it's a good document, but it's countywide. It doesn't really address the needs of our city. It doesn't have the programs that are tailored for San Rafael or the level of analysis. So there was definitely the strong feeling like we need to go further than this set of 10, really just 10 policies and a handful of actions to move this forward. Anything, Susan, did you want to add anything to that?
I completely agree. I think it's the same thing that we talked about with the Park and Rec Master Plan, that really the general plan is policy driven and it really gives the framework that a very specific master plan effort. And so this really shouldn't go into granular detail of, you know, what concert, what event, you know, what art exhibit. It really should express what the city's driving forces and what they need to pursue, and then the cultural arts master plan with the details of identifying what public art should be, where it should be, mechanisms, etc.
So there are a couple of things, maybe they belong in the master plan, but I don't know whether, just to mention that, just like Jackie brought out that it wasn't so clear about the performing arts, that this covers that. So it needs to be maybe a little more explicit that it covers performing arts and all kinds of cultural activity. Just, I think it's clear, but maybe it could be more clear. The other thing in terms of diversity that I thought could be more clear is including the disability community and looking out for that. Another thing that I thought was important was ensuring that there is a clear selection criteria for the public art, any acquisition. So that, I wouldn't want to get into detail for that, but to say that's something that should be in the master plan, you know, and make sure that that's in there. So those were just some thoughts I had about that might belong here rather than in the master plan.
Okay. There was also interest in the focus group about selection criteria for public art. And there was actually the conversation about the mural policy, which I'm not that familiar with, but that it was outdated. Yeah, and needed.
That's a half hour conversation. I could tell you all about the mural policy history. It goes back to when we had a cultural affairs commission.
Right.
And, it's got a special place in our sign ordinance. Mm-hmm. One of the things, I think this keeps coming up about, you know, what is arts and culture? Is it just, you know, physical art? Is it performing arts or whatever? What's missing in what you guys have is that at the beginning of each element, there's sort of an introductory explanation about what that element's all about. And there's usually definitions that are in a box. I think that would be the perfect spot to say, okay, what is arts and culture in the context of San Rafael and what we're talking about? And identify those things. It includes performing arts. It includes, you know, physical art. It includes public art or events or things of that nature. So, Barry, I'm assuming that's probably what you had in mind, right?
Yes, that's how I'm spending my sheltering in place, is writing those introductions to every element. So, yeah, absolutely. That's all part of this.
At risk of being repetitious here, it seemed to me that one of the things that came out was that there was a sense of geographic focus on south of Portisuelo Hill, right, and a desire that we expand our focus to the part of the community that's north of Portisuelo Hill, so that we're not so geographically focused on downtown.
Good point. Yes. That's, I don't recall who raised that issue, but it is important.
I think it was mentioned in the meeting in March, but I don't recall exactly.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't mentioned that all sections of the community, every section should be included.
Yeah, well, I think
that's fair enough.
It's right. It was more that whenever we listed events or facilities, they were always downtown or downtown adjacent, and there was nothing, you know, other than acknowledging the county, county complex, there was nothing else in North San Rafael mentioned.
Which is a national landmark and is the foundation to all our events in this community. So, I mean, people may forget, but back when Northgate Mall was a very active mall, there used to be a lot of cultural events and that took place at the mall. And you know, over time, obviously, they went away. But I think it's a good point that, that we don't forget about North San Rafael.
Thank you.
So, you know, short of going through each of these policies and programs, there were a few that kind of jumped out, at least for the group that met last month. But maybe for some of you as well, the issue of funding for the arts and that dedicating a portion of the transient occupancy tax toward art, is that something that folks feel one way or the other about or want to weigh in on? That was one of the issues that was popping up pretty frequently in that meeting.
And how do we decide it's for arts and not for other things? I mean, I think it might be nice to have someone go to the arts, but it is sort of exclusive then.
Yeah, I mean, I know that in many other cities, there is this connection between the hospitality industry and the arts, and somehow there's a nexus to fund arts, events or whatever with that money that comes from the hotel tax. I don't know if anybody else, Susan, if you're more familiar with that or have experience with that elsewhere.
Yeah, actually, I've worked for a couple agencies that had both a percent of EOT as well as development that went for the arts. But the reference in general plan policy for arts and culture, I think, is broad enough, and I think we would delve into it a little bit more with the master plan.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, there was another kind of a thread of conversation in that meeting about making sure arts programming is diverse and multilingual and reaches everybody in the community or is available to everybody in the community. There were a few folks like Douglas Mundo, who was from the Multicultural Center at that meeting, felt like there could be more done to engage the Spanish speaking community and the others who maybe don't have the access to these programs in the language in this element. And I don't know if that seems to resonate with anybody on the call, or if you guys think there are specific things that the city can be doing.
It seems to me that can be addressed, let's see, in the master plan itself. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's lots of different ethnic groups that have been represented historically in the city, for example, Portuguese and Italian communities. So, again, I think we run the risk perhaps of excluding folks if we start to focus on singular groups.
I would counter that this is more of an inclusion idea than an exclusivity idea.
There's only a paragraph in here that sort of does that generally. AC 1.4, culturally inclusive activities. It goes on and about being inclusive.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is that we should be looking at it in that way, that it's about inclusion versus, you know, trying to highlight a certain community. I would also like to add that there's been a lot of discussion in the Latino community about, and outside of the community in the larger arts community, about how to increase audience from underserved communities, basically, you could say. And it's a very interesting thing because it's in somebody's language, what's the reason for them to be there? So for instance, the Marin Symphony was doing some work years ago on trying to highlight Latin arts orchestrations. And, but then how do you get people to come? Why would they come? Just because it was, you know what I mean? There's a whole conversation around that. So I think that I agree with Jeffrey. It should be, the specifics should definitely go in a master plan, but it definitely leads a lot of discussion. And you know, Douglas is one person. And I think if you really wanted to drill down on this, you could probably get, a subcommittee on that very issue, because making something available or doing it, building it so they'll come doesn't always work. You know what I mean? There's a way to develop inclusivity that is more than just, like, for instance, creating the signs in Spanish. I mean, there's more reasons to look at why people do not attend art who are in poverty or underserved or have a different language or are new to the community. There's a lot of different reasons why they're not, it's not available to them. Could be transportation. It could be, you know, that's just my thought, my thinking.
Right. That's a good point.
I had another thought, Barry, while I'm talking. The San Rafael, City of San Rafael and the San Rafael Chamber are doing this very wonderful emergency funding for small businesses. And I was thinking, I was wondering if there's any reason to put in this particular policy that type of thinking for the art community, you know, because artists tend to be less, more, you know, they're usually not, you know, working two jobs. They have a day job and then they're artists. So what does the economic situation of a COVID-19 do to the art community? I wonder if there's any thinking around that. Mm-hmm. Like should there be some thinking about helping that community at times of the, and maybe that's just too future.
No, I don't think it's too future at all. I think it's, we have another conversation like this next week around issues of equity and inclusion. And that's, I imagine, going to be a big topic of conversation for that group, the very point you just raised. By the way, I think your audio faded out, so we missed some of what you said there, but got most of it. Okay, any other specific comments on the policies? More additional thoughts?
This is Don. I just had one comment on 16B, reducing barriers. It talks about amending zoning codes, and that's quite a process to go through. I wonder if we need to come up with some new code. I don't want to introduce a new code in the general plan, but somehow making it easier that the Planning Commission doesn't have to accept applications and then go through public hearings and this, that, and the other thing to actually change a zoning code, which would just have to be reversed later. Is there any way of coming up with some kind of language that talks about temporary zoning codes or that might have a date associated to it, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, something that the Planning Commission doesn't have to get involved with.
Mm-hmm.
That's one.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to respond, Don, to that. That's a really, really good point. What we're finding that we're doing as of late is on stuff that we know that could change over time or an onerous process, what we're doing is whatever we're putting in our codes are usually sort of the foundation to whatever the topic is, and then we're having the City Council adopt a separate policy resolution. We did this with a number of topics like short-term rentals and such, knowing that these were going to change over time. What that does is it minimizes our task of having to go back and change an ordinance. And so I think your point's well taken. I think we'll take a look at that language to see if perhaps we can, you know, make it a little more general and then leave the process up to whatever we come up with. You know, if we can avoid doing an ordinance change and at the same
time exactly.
Do it. You know, as you know, we're doing this right now with the Design Review Board. You're on the Design
yep.
Review Board. We have a subcommittee now that really serves as the board during this time. And we did that by a policy statement. We didn't go back and change the code.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Well, that's what I just was trying to avoid. And then the only other comment I had is there a thought to having an arts commission?
Susan, do you want to weigh in on that one?
Right there. So we did have an arts and culture commission at one point that was disbanded in the 2005-2006. And there has been some discussion with the library and community services merging to make the Library and Recreation Department, if there's the potential to either expand the role of the two existing commissions to absorb arts or to do a hybrid. But once again, I think that would come as a recommendation from the master plan as to whether or not there needs to be a public art subcommittee or arts and culture commission or whatever.
Yeah, and there's a... Go ahead, Don.
Oh, no, that's where I was questioning whether we were going to go back to a commission because I knew there was one at one time. And if that is the way we're going to do it, I think it would be good to have someone on the Park and Rec Commission on that commission and also a representative from DRB to be on that commission. That was my only thoughts for that.
Yeah, there's a similar conversation around historic preservation and, you know, the commission, you know, having some commission that deals with preservation issues, which could actually end up being the same commission. That I think will happen tomorrow on the historic preservation call, because that's one of the issues that's come up in that element in that set of policies is you know who is the arbiter of those decisions and is there a city commission that's tasked with that so that's you know it's a parallel conversation.
I'm going to bring it up tomorrow too.
As most of you are aware, we used to have a cultural affairs commission as well that was dissolved probably in the maybe somewhere around 2000 or the late 90s. And the Planning Commission basically serves in that capacity in looking at landmark requests or anything dealing with physical changes to a building that's landmarked or as a historic resource.
I think it's kind of a needs-driven question. I don't believe that the skill sets and interests are necessarily aligned between a cultural affairs commission, arts and cultural affairs commission, and a historic preservation commission. And as an example of that, from what I understand, there was a tremendous amount of material, research, other documents that were that related to historic preservation that were discarded by a staff member who was primarily interested in art. And I think that reflects perhaps kind of a disconnect in interest and skill sets. So I don't think they can be combined. I don't think it works.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it might be. It might work in the context if you're looking at, for example, a public art fee and you're collecting money, and there is the money goes to a specific public art exhibit or something like that that involves perhaps input from the design review board or an arts commission. It could be some committee that's off that reports to the council and makes that decision on how the money's spent. So I mean, there are various structures of way of doing this without creating another new committee. So,
or perhaps not a commission, but a committee that's advising the planning commission or something like that.
An ad, mm-hmm. sort of ad hoc group, yes.
I served on the County Cultural Commission, and it had been previously a Parks Commission as well, and then they split off into two, which was much more manageable mm-hmm. for each. And so I'd be interested in the conversation with you, Dawn, about the pros and cons, but not here anyway. The county, of course, is different than the city, but it worked, I think, to have separate commissions at the county level.
Yeah.
Each one of these things requires staff support and resources, so we're going to have to probably be kind of cautious.
And just one other comment. I just want to go back to something we started with, and I sure hope Jackie is 100% correct about our future. But the 2040 plan, I think, is, you know, really to be forward-looking, and I think it would behoove us to realize that, you know, we hope we won't have another pandemic, but a lot of experts are saying, you know, that it's likely we will, just like the experts say, it's likely we're going to have an earthquake or there's going to be more fires or whatever, and that we should kind of think about how we can use the document to be flexible and resilient when these things happen. And just the amount of ingenuity and creativity that's been shown in the arts community alone. I mean, in every arena, just these Zoom conferences and everything that have just changed our world. I think it would be great to have some forward thinking efforts to consider as part of our 2040 plan and how arts might be changed by what we're experiencing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with Bonnie, and I was just doing a search on words. There's no technology word in the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if we should address, you know, the idea that we're going to be looking towards advanced technologies in order to share art. The other comment I had is that the cultural district designation, I was just looking that up, that's a 5-year designation that needs to be renewed every 3 years, and I'm wondering if that shouldn't be in the
Good point, Cecilia. I think that should be part of the this program, AC1.1.8A, which talks about the cultural district. We should definitely reference, renewing that and keeping that up to date.
I just have a quick question. Who actually puts in that application? Is that the planning department, Paul?
No. I believe that was handled by economic development.
Yeah. I think Danielle did it.
Because it was all part of the downtown BID or it linked back to the BID and the chamber. So Danielle would have done it. I'm going to have to step out because I have a 1:00.
I think we're probably at the end of our agenda. I don't think there are any public. Renee, did you want to say anything? You're the only person who hasn't spoken, but.
I'm just listening. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Someone was going
to
speak.
I did want you guys to know that we had asked Renee to participate in today's subcommittee meeting and also tomorrow's historic preservation committee. Renee is, she's a new planner, San Rafael resident, went to San Rafael High, grew up here.
Oh, Bulldogs.
She worked for Sarah Boglia, associate, our historic preservation consultant. So she brings to us some resources that are very valuable and timely right now, particularly with the downtown precise plan and our historic resource assessment that we're doing. So that's why we're asking her to participate to see if she can shed some light on certain things that, you know, she knows that we don't think about.
Great. Thanks, Paul.
Okay, we'll see you guys later. I'm going to leave here.
Okay. Stephanie, you want to close us out?
Just to thank you all. I think that considering our social distance, this is a viable option, and I appreciate your willingness, flexibility, and participation, and I look forward to seeing you in this way again soon, and then hopefully it won't be that long before we're back at BioMarin.
Okay.
Be safe, everybody. Be safe.
Thank you. See everybody later.
Thanks, Barry.
Okay.
Some of you sooner, right? Like tomorrow at 1.
Many of you tomorrow. Yeah, many of you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.